You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
October the 5th, 2022, we are live streaming at rumble.com. No, we're no longer on YouTube. They didn't like what I had to say. Tough. Just let it go at that, right? But I do have something to say to YouTube coming up before we wrap up today. You want to stick around for that one. As I mentioned to you before the network news came on, Biden is probably going to go back to the strategic oil reserves. That is because OPEC has decided it's going to cut output, likely, of course, to mean higher prices at your gas pumps. Biden just the other day said it's, some states are already $3 or less. There's not a single state that is $3 or less. Not a single state. And it's not going to get any better. But what is he going to do? Well, it's election year. He's going to have to go once again back to the Strategic Oil Reserve. Now, the Strategic Oil Reserve is meant for strategic situations, not political points. We currently have, I think this might be actually off. It's showing 416 million barrels when we did a year ago, and I think it's actually below 400 million right now. But let's go with our number, 460. Let's say 400 million barrels in our strategic reserve. Now, again, these are caverns, salt caverns along the coast and so forth where we store this oil. But even at 400 million gallons, we are down from what we were 1 year ago. 1 year ago, we had 618 million gallons strategic oil reserve. Oh, you're wondering, well, how long could this last? Well, the last report, and the highest level we've ever had was in 2010, was at 72 million barrels. And according to how long this could last on what we've got, well, without any exports, based on current consumption levels, and I think this is based actually on more than what we currently have, would give us 5 years of oil left. And you heard the network reporter saying Biden is now looking for ways to increase oil. Really? Really? You're the one to shut down the Biden pipeline? I mean, yeah, let's call it the Biden pipeline. Keystone pipeline, shutting down oil and gas leases, not allowing more drilling to take place, and yet you're willing to buy it from our enemies, the communists in Venezuela. We were in turn getting it from Russia in about ways that we're still supporting. We're supporting Russia. Do you understand that? We shut down all these sanctions, yet we're still sending money to Russia because we need the oil. I was out in California last week, and I want to tell you some things I saw out there reference oil prices and some of the people and some of their reactions. I'll get to that a little bit later. If you have not been paying attention to what's happening in Ukraine, you really need to. You need to be not only paying attention, but praying. The chief of the UN nuclear watchdog is going to head to Kyiv, maybe en route even as I speak. This is because President Putin of Russia signed a decree to incorporate Ukraine's largest nuclear power plant. And they're worried about if the Russians have control of that power plant. Well, there's good reason to be concerned. Meantime, Kyiv forces continue to press forward with territorial gains in the south and east of Ukraine, including some of the regions Russia claims it's going to annex. And there's also uprising in Iran, of all places. You talk about you want to have free speech in Iran? You take your life in your hands. But there's a woman dressed in black holding a portrait of her son saying, "I don't care. I'm not scared of anyone. They told me to be silent. I will not be. They killed my son." She's marching in Tehran. At any moment, the soldiers could open fire and cut her down. It's just the other day, the New York Times, by the way, tried to downplay a suspicious story, a story about an election software company, that it was selling or giving information about 2 million Americans direct to the Chinese government. I don't have time to get into that in more detail today, but we will tomorrow because that's a very big story. And, of course, the New York City mayor is trying to deal with all the illegals that are being sent his way, courtesy of Governor Abbott, saying, here, you take on some of these. And what he's doing, he's shipping them off to a secluded island off the Bronx neighborhood and maybe talking Norwegian Cruise Lines, giving them a ship. Oh, and Democrat Senator Ralph Warnock, Democrat in Georgia, he's now denying maybe this report of an allegation that Herschel Walker paid for an abortion. No one knows if it's fact, so he says, I just don't want to talk about it.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Your eyes are burning, you're sneezing, it's allergy season. Pollen readings are sky high. Heck, you can even see that yellow powder on everything. So that's also inside your air conditioning ducts. I suggest you call Wellington Environmental. Now, other companies will be glad to do the job, but they're going to come to your home or business, count the air ducts, and begin increasing the cost. In fact, the quoted price might even double. Wellington offers one price, no extras. You'll be charged exactly what Wellington quotes. So this is easy for you. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930. You will breathe easier. Wellington has a AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Wellington Environmental, your world cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
A happy girl taught me those things a young man should know.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place.
Yeah, she went there. That was VP Harris. You heard it the other day, but I was off, and I want to make sure I played and had a few words about it as well. There she is talking about when it comes to giving help for those caught in the hurricane of Florida and those who suffered damage in South Carolina. We need to be aware that we disperse the money on an equitable fashion. What does that mean exactly? Well, you could read into it a lot of different things. My read, what I get out of it is that it's intended to give out the money just based on color. That's not right. There are a lot of people that are going to be hurting. I mean, and then everyone's going to need help. Some will need more than others. And I say that's fine. And if they are that hurt to begin with and they were already hurting to begin with, I have no problem with that. You know, as long as it's justified. I don't want it just be thrown into a hole because, well, that's a black zip code, so we're going to throw all more money in there without really checking. And nor do I want to see it thrown into a rich zip code because they should be able to afford and take a little bit of the loss and probably have insurance in most cases to cover their loss. So don't just say we're going to do it on, quote, race baiting, which is exactly what she was doing. That's my opinion. You may have a different one. That's fine. But let me share with Stuart Varney of Fox Business News and how he evaluated her remarks.
She said, resources should be given based on, quote, equity. What exactly does that mean when it comes to allocating hurricane assistance? You get help depending on the color of your skin? Surely not. Social media jumped on it, though. Elon Musk tweeted this: should be according to greatest need, not race or anything else, end quote. Well said, Elon. Harris has a habit of using word salad kind of language. You listen and you feel like you're in a sociology class. Lots of left-wing jargon designed to cover the real message. Fox News Digital caught up with Harris and asked her, explain, please, the equity comment. She would not answer. She would not clarify. I suspect this administration would hand out assistance based on race. But Kamala Harris can't say that in plain English because there's an election in 5 weeks. And most voters surely do not want any racial preference in helping hurricane victims. Surely.
Surely. But behind the curtain, yeah, it might well happen. Now, if you missed the first hour, I'm not going to spend all the time going over to get. First of all, shame on you for missing the first hour. But I know you have other things going on in your life. Larry Connors isn't as important as he thinks he is sometimes. I will agree with that. I'm not. And I'm also high maintenance if you're looking for an issue. I'm also that. But I'm really not. Just give me a simple jack. I'll sit in the corner and I'll be real quiet and I'll be very happy. But I will point this out. They will be doing it behind the curtain. And I did mention in the last hour, remember what happened with Hurricane Katrina. One of the issues that has come up in this, and we discussed it in the last hour, that a lot of these poor people didn't have a way to get evacuated. They didn't have cars. They couldn't get out. Well, my God, you should feel for them. And I don't care if they're black, white, yellow, red. I don't. If they need help getting out and getting to safety, they should be getting that help. But it's a bigger issue now because it happened in a red state, and if some folks didn't get help, oh, the governor, you know, that he's a mean, cold-hearted SO, you know. What I was doing in the last hour, and I really encourage you to go back and listen to it if you didn't, and then share it with folks. Simply push the share button. What happened with Katrina in August of 2005, they could see Katrina coming for days. It's not like a tornado just pops up. Now, granted, the cone, as they call it, of where it's going to hit is very uncertain. It made a direct hit on New Orleans, and the flood pumps weren't working effectively. Many were inoperative, and the lower Ninth Ward took the heaviest hit. 1,800 died in New Orleans. In New Orleans. Many of them in the Ninth Ward. They could not get out of there. The water kept coming up, and now vehicles and so forth couldn't get through. That wasn't enough. Now, the governor of the state at the time was a Democrat. The mayor of the city was a Democrat, who later got convicted on bribery charges of taking relief money and using it to bribe and pay off bribes and accepting bribes from contractors and friends to get people they wanted to have help and ignore others that needed it. And they had school buses locked up. They could have opened the lock and got the school buses out and gotten into the Ninth Ward and put people on buses and got them out well ahead of the storm and ahead of the traffic jams that were coming. And they were going to use city buses, but they started that too late. They were getting stuck in high water and are then caught in traffic jams, and or then they would also take them to the Super Bowl, which became a refuge, but not a refuge for some because there were reports of rape and assault inside the Superdome. Where's your equity there? Everybody gets to go to a place of refuge and you get assaulted, victimized. Governor DeSantis was asked, what do you think about the remark VP Harris made that we need to look at helping folks, but let's do it on a basis of equity?
I think she's trying to play identity politics with a storm and a natural disaster. And I think it's ridiculous. And honestly, we had the FEMA administrator in Florida with us, and she threw cold water on that. So that is not going to happen. It's totally not appropriate. You don't have to politicize every single tragedy in this country. And I think people, I tell you, in Florida are really sick of the nonsense. They just want people to be helped. They want everyone to band together, and they want us to get these communities back on our feet.
Get them back on their feet. You have to be really cold-blooded if you say, well, I don't want to help those people because they're a different religion, different color. They're not like me. You really have to be cold-hearted, cold-blooded. And I know, unfortunately, there are those that exist like that. But they exist on both sides. Which reminds me, just the other day, you've got Mayor Eric Adams talking about, you know, dealing with the illegals that are being shipped into his city. And he said, you know, this is wrong, but he said, we can't do what the far right keeps pushing and shoving. What's the far right mean in that sense? I don't really understand. But then what he did add, he said the far right is pushing and the far left is doing nothing. Whoa, that was a fuse that just got lit. The far left is doing nothing. That's a direct hit at Biden and those who are telling him, keep the borders open. Let them come. We might get some votes out of it. They're looking at all of this as demographics and votes, which also explains why Biden bypassed Florida, went to Puerto Rico first. Puerto Rico's not a U.S. state. Democrats want to make it a U.S. state, and they want to, therefore, probably have another two Democrat senators. And at least one or two House members that would be Democrat. D.C. wants to become a state, get two senators, just as like the state of Texas. Every state gets two U.S. senators. So if they become a state, they're going to have two senators. Number of congressmen would depend upon the population. So they're going to get at least one. But he flew and ignored Florida having more deaths in the deadliest storm, pardon me, to hit Florida in recent times, ignoring that because it is a red state, which means he also ignored the dead. And does he know if they are black, white, if they're Republican, Democrat? Does he care? Does he know that I'm not going to win Florida, or we can't win Florida, so let's just go on to Puerto Rico, maybe. Even though it's not a state, we'll make good friends with Latinos elsewhere across the U.S. I don't think that's working very well. All the polls show it's not. More Latinos are deciding, I don't like the way you're running this country. I don't have all the polls in front of me, and yes, you can find a few polls that say, no, the Latinos still hold the edge. Well, they do hold the edge, but whether or not it's going to maintain it, and then there are many that may still be deciding, and for them it's going to come down to maybe migration, illegal entry, I should point out. Or it might come down to abortion, and many of them are Catholic, so they're not going to buy into abortion unrestricted. And it may come down to crime, because it happens a lot in their communities. And it's certainly going to come down to their pocketbook, and they keep their children shooed and fed. But fly right past Florida and go to Puerto Rico, and they want to accuse DeSantis of playing politics. He says the demographics are not an issue.
The impacts spanned all demographics, all income levels. Sanibel has some very wealthy people. They also have blue-collar people. You have other communities, different race, different ethnicities. Who cares? We just want to make sure people have a chance to get back off their feet and get moving forward again.
Get moving forward again. And then you got the lowest of all low life, except for those who prey upon children, pedophiles and so forth. And that would be looters who come in the midst of a tragedy, a disaster, and add misery on top of misery to those who've lost so much. They go in and steal anything of value and take from those who are already suffering. And DeSantis had a very clear word for that kind of scum.
I toured the Thursday after the morning after the storm. I was in Punta Gorda in Charlotte County. They had all their businesses boarded up downtown. A lot of the placards I saw, the wood, They spray painted, "You loot, we shoot." They were sending the message that lawlessness will not be tolerated. And when these situations happen and it descends into lawlessness like it has after some other natural disasters we've seen in America and in other countries, the whole kind of social fabric starts to decay. So we have to draw a very clear line in the sand at the beginning. You are not going to capitalize off people's suffering. You are not going to be allowed to ransack people's homes or loot. They have caught some looters, but fortunately, I think because we've been so strong on it, you haven't seen it like you have seen in the aftermath of other natural disasters. And we are proudly a law and order state, and we're proudly a state that lets individual Floridians defend themselves, their families, and their homes.
And that's the way it should be, isn't it? Which brings, for a lot of folks in the St. Louis area, my listeners there in the St. Louis area, you recall during the Michael Brown Ferguson riots that followed, and the rioting that took place, and a retired police officer, Doran, went down to help protect a pawn shop owned by a friend of his. And gangs were breaking in and looting the pawn shop. And one of them shot and killed the former police officer. He was just there to help protect the property for a friend. The guy convicted is facing jail time. I think the verdict might have been handed down. I didn't have a chance to update it. But it doesn't make any difference what your color is. You have a right to protect your property, right? Coming up, a question the White House spokeswoman is lost.
You said the president was responsible for gas prices coming down. Is the president responsible for gas prices going up?
So it's a lot more nuanced than that, right? Peter, you know this. There have been global challenges that we have all have dealt with. When I say all, meaning other countries as well, have dealt with since the pandemic. There's been pandemic and there's been Putin's war. And Putin's war has increase gas prices at the pump. We have seen that over the past several months. And what the president was able to do, he took some historic steps when you think about the Strategic Petroleum Reserve and making sure that we were able to do everything that we can to bring that cost down for American families, give them a little bit more of a breathing room. And we saw that. We saw that every day this summer, saving American families over a dollar per gallon.
Yeah, so see, we helped them out. Oh, but the prices are up again. You took all the credit. That was Peter Ducey asking the White House spokeswoman. You took all the credit for the gas prices going down. Is he going to take any credit for them going back up? And Karine Jean-Pierre, well, it's not that simple, Peter. You don't really understand, Peter. He knows a hell of a lot more than you do, lady. And you, as a spin doctor, are failing. Now, granted, she's been given an impossible mission. Let's give her that. When Biden came in, one of the first things he did by executive order, shut down the Keystone Pipeline. Other orders, shutting down oil and gas leases. We were energy independent. We're not anymore. And so as we began to use more and more fuel, and we're now supposedly going to get it from Venezuela, which is dirtier produced than what we did in this country, and it's a communist country, and the dollars end up going either to China and or Russia, another communist, rather than using our own oil. He's going to once again do what he did then to help everybody out. He took the action, she said, to take some from the strategic oil reserve so everybody can live a little bit better, have a little more breathing room. Well, it's going to happen again. In fact, it's just been announced. Biden to release 10 million more barrels from our strategic petroleum reserve in November. Oh, look at the calendar. Oh, my God. What happens in November? That's a midterm election. And in November, your gas prices will be going down. Briefly again. Going to release 10 million more. That's because Saudi Arabia and others are, OPEC says, going to cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day. So this is also going to help the top oil producers like Saudi Arabia and Russia. They're going to drive the cost up globally. And, of course, you're going to hear the complaints from the leftists. And Yellen did the other day as Treasury, you know, a member, prior Treasury Secretary, saying, you gas and oil companies, quit gouging the consumers in a tough time. Most of them are just passing the cost on. And if you really want to not gouge them, how about you guys cut your state taxes, like in California and so forth? I think I was told the other day their gas taxes is I didn't check it, but I think that someone said it's more than a dollar and a quarter a gallon for gas tax. Surely not, though. Maybe it is. I'll check it. I'll verify it. I did verify something else for you, and I want to share that before we go to this break. I was talking about the looting that they were stopping in Florida, and I was also referring to the former police officer, St. Louis City police officer, who was killed while protecting a pawn shop from looters during the riots and aftermath that followed some of the injustice, as it was being called at the time. The man who shot and killed the retired St. Louis police captain that he tried to protect in June 2020 was convicted. I was sure he was. And not only of that, but five additional charges, including armed criminal action, first-degree robbery, two counts of armed criminal action, sentenced on charges or will happen September 13. Now, that's already happened. This story is dated. But it's a mandatory life sentence, and apparently that's what he got. Good. The officer could have shot and killed him and been perfectly within his rights to do so, protecting the property. Coming up, I just got back, as I said, from a trip to California. Now, you might think, Larry, how did you survive in the midst of all those wacko liberals? Well, there's a story when we continue.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
For some companies, loyalty is a lost word. You give a company your business, your years, but in the end, you're just a number. But at Ackerman Toyota, loyalty is appreciated. Thousands of customers personally know this. New Ackerman customers quickly see it. Loyalty defines Ackerman Toyota for all customers and employees. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So there I was in California, and you're probably thinking, why did you go out to the land of La La and crazies? Well, I had a good reason. There was a poker event underway, and I'd been invited down. I thought, I'll go out there and try and see if I can take some of that California money that they're not paying their governor on a constant basis. And I was successful. Didn't do as well as I wanted to in the tournament, I'll be honest with you. I think there were something like the only multi-day event I could play had something like 1,700 players, and only about 300 of us were able to make it to the second day. And out of that 300, I went out in 97. Well, that sounds impressive, Larry. Yeah, and see, the top money was 70,000. But unless you get the top 3 to 5, you know, you don't make a lot of money. How much you make, Larry? How much you make? Well, I made some nice money. And then I played cash and got more. But I was also interested and I started looking around, and in the poker room in particular, I thought, I don't think any Democrats play poker. At least I know some here that do, but California Democrats, and yet I'm sure there were some there, but there were nobody having political discussions one way or the other, nobody wearing badges or even one side or the other. No, let's go Brandon caps, no Biden caps. Now, passing the slot machines, I might see some like that, but playing poker, I guess it's because of, you know, your different mindset. I don't know. But what I did see and recognize it, while I probably was surrounded and had a lot of libs, since that state is predominantly Democrat, I was probably surrounded by many, but I would tell and share something with you. This is, we should all keep in mind. They weren't really crazy, wild-eyed. There were some that looked a little bit like they'd been toting a little bit or doing something, you know. And then there were others that had their hair all streaked out and painted different colors. They may or may not have been pride. I don't know. I didn't care. Didn't ask. Their choice. And then there were some that just looked, well, like me. Oh, I know that's scary enough. I'm sorry. Let's say like you. Oh, no. All right. Somebody you know that is a friend, you know, not an enemy. And polite, respectful. They weren't foaming at the mouth. They weren't foaming at the mouth. They might have been foaming in their mind. And if I dared raise the word, if I'd said something like, my ace is Trump, your jacks, well, then Matt might have set off a melee. And I said, don't do that. Don't do that. But it should remind us that they are Americans. Now, in the midst of that crazy state out there, there's still Americans who are doing and making decisions they think are best. But I really wondered about that in the sense that while they might vote that way, do they really agree? And almost everyone that did say anything to me, and this would include, quote, black, Latino, a Cuban, couple from, India. Another, they were all complaining about the high price of gasoline and that all the taxes they're having to pay, period. So they have the same common concerns that you do and I would have. And at the airport, I see young couples with a baby in a stroller caring for that baby and probably like any parents would. Now, I didn't know anything about their relationship, if they were Democrat or Republican, to me, if they're a family. I did see a couple women walking together, pushing a stroller. One was a little younger than the other. They might have been mom, daughter, I don't know, and then a grandchild. Maybe they were a couple, and they had either adopted a child or something. And I was, the only thing that did concern me, not just about them, but anybody I saw in these little kids, how are they being raised? Are they being raised with the right ethics and the right morals? And beginning with a work ethic and beginning with the fact that you don't live generation on hand-me-outs, that you get up and get things done. And I don't know how many people I did talk to at the poker table talking about how they had come here from another country and they loved the California or they had relatives there and In fact, there were a couple Asians mentioning that. Well, they had friends there. They lived there. And now they've started their own families, and they've become Americans themselves. That's something, I guess, that should remind all of us. We are all in this together. And I'd like to see us go back. We can still have disagreements and discourse. That's going to be understandable. But how we treat each other, and here is the key I'm driving for. Respect. Respect. When my children were growing up, my two daughters, I told them, or not just told them, I pretty well insisted to the extent that one of them said, well, you're not a drill sergeant. I said, I never said I was, but I'm your father, and I want you to do it this way. And that was, I'd ask them a question, they'd say, yeah. No, I beg your pardon. And that was their cue to say, yes, sir, or no, sir. And I said, you need to do that now, because as you do it and it becomes a habit, you're going to be elevated in the minds of adults wherever you go in the future. You're applying for a job or anything else. When you're replying like that, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, that immediately raises you. Now, there are some that say, oh, well, you're making me sound old. I don't like that. Yes, ma'am. That wasn't the intent. It's just being respectful, and it's a Southern charm thing, I would agree. And I had a call from one of the teachers at their school at the time saying, we don't like them saying that. So why is that? Said, it's a suggestive of slavery days. It is not. It's a sign of respect. If you don't want them to say that, then they must say, yes, Mrs. Smith, or yes, or no, Mrs. Smith. They can't say, yep, nope. I want a full, complete response in that fashion. And I saw numerous folks in California, and again, I don't know how many were at the casino that lived there. Well, most of them indicated they did, or were visiting, or had lived there one time. Basically respectful. You stepped in someone's way, it was a rush to see who's going to apologize first. Now, this is not a matter of being, quote, a pacifist, and just kind of, you know, I'm always going to be bowing down and acting like I'm in the wrong. No, I'm not asking for that either. I'm just saying respect for each other. I get to the airport. Well, I saw it on the way in, but I didn't pay that much attention because I was just anxious to get to my destination. But I had time in the airport yesterday, and they have a lot of signs out saying hydrogen sales. Hydrogen is the future. Hydrogen, and I'm not smart enough to give this to you without reading it, so don't think it that I'm really that intelligent. I'm close to being intelligent. Never mind. Forget it. Anyway, reading for you from a scientific journal, hydrogen doesn't exist on its own. It needs to be extracted from water using electrolysis, which is in itself a complicated process. That much I did know. And you need tons of investment and political backing for it to become a viable source of energy. Without it, the proper infrastructure to use hydrogen as fuel cannot be created. Kind of like cars that won't use gasoline, use electric power. But they were indicating that with hydrogen, you could go farther than electric charging. And that it can be used as a fuel for internal combustible engines. They do produce tailpipe emissions, are less efficient, but they're still better than using gas if you're trying to cut emissions. But then the power produced, not near enough. I talked to a guy who said he was a long-haul trucker. He on the road about two and a half weeks at a time, back home for maybe 3 days, back out on the road again. Doing very well, by the way, making good money because there's a great demand, and we thank them for that. And we're talking about, you know, what are you going to do if they want to shut down all gas and there goes your diesel fuel and everything? He said, You can't even have an electric vehicle with a battery long enough. A car built big enough to tow a good load with electrical without running down your battery so fast, you got to charge it a lot quicker. He said, on my truck, I'd have to have a third of my cargo container be battery. So there goes less product I can move. And then from Florida, one of my listeners, David, sent me word. Said, I'm thinking about if we were already all electrical, and with everything that had happened with this hurricane, he said, what would have happened is, would you have enough battery power to get to a fuel station, and then how long you got to wait in line because there's so few of them before you can get up and get your electric car recharged where they are operating, if they're operating? When they brought out the horse, followed by the horseless buggy, a lot of folks, oh, that'll never work. I don't know if I can do it. Well, that did. But that was a vision that had some good possibility. What they're proposing now, not so much. Once again, remember our Jewish friends, their holiest day, Yom Kippur, today. And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. I'm Dick.
cooking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. I'm backing up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, those of you watching on Rumble, you just got something exciting to see, didn't you? Oh, you're not watching on Rumble? Oh, that's your bad. I was basically signing off the program then, and then Quentin gave me a look like, "Are you an idiot?" Yes, I'm an idiot. So we still had another segment to go. I got so wrapped up in talking about what I saw happen in California, and I'm calling them wackos. Here's your wacko sitting behind the mic right now. But if you're watching on Rumble, you got some entertainment there, didn't you? That will be posted shortly as Rumble on our Rumble page, rumble.com. Remember, just go to Rumble, enter in the search engine, Larry Connors, USA, and it'll take you to previous postings, which will now include this one, because I don't edit it. If I make a mistake, I make a mistake. Contrary to some of your beliefs, I am not perfect. Not near perfect. But two things, and I'm glad I have more time because I didn't want to rush through one of the remarks I made. I'll come back to that in a moment. But I told you in the beginning of today's program that I was going to tell you that in addition to being on Rumble, we still have some postings showing on YouTube. You can go to Larry Connors USA YouTube. There's still some postings there, and a lot of folks have subscribed to those. You're probably wondering, well, I'm not getting anything anymore. Well, that's because YouTube kicked us off about 3+ months ago or more. So we moved to Rumble. Please switch your subscription from YouTube, Larry Connors USA, to rumble.com, Larry Connors USA. It's very easy. But I just got a notice just today from YouTube, ironically. Our team has reviewed your content, and unfortunately, we think it violates our misinformation policy. We removed the following content from YouTube. Then it says video, full two-hour broadcast. I haven't had a chance to look at it. I have no idea which broadcast it is. It doesn't give a date. It doesn't give me specifics. It doesn't say anything. Quentin's in there saying they don't, do they? That's routine? He's telling me that's just routine. He said, well, we know this might be disappointing, but it's important to us that YouTube is a safe place for all. 9/11 broadcast, that's what it was? Quentin says it was a 9/11 broadcast they took off because we replayed some of the horrific sounds and interviews of folks witnessing it. They took that off because that is, well, first of all, I said it violates our misinformation policy. Damn did not violate misinformation policy. Period. Now, you might not like it, then it might have been a little too harsh for some of you in your safe room out there, but that's the reality of what happened 9/11. Quentin says that's the one they decided to pull off, but they say how your content violated the policy. It advances false claims at widespread fraud, errors, or glitches. Change the outcome. Well, we had nothing to do with that one. It says your channel now has one strike. You won't be able to do things like upload, post, or stream for 1 week. They don't even know that they were tricking me previously. I had the interview with Sandy Frazier. Well, I'm drawing a blank on her name out. That was, in fact, I may have her back on tomorrow because there's some new election fraud stuff that's actually been acknowledged in court and a guy going to prison for it. She was one of the lawyers for Trump when he first was contesting the election. And I had her on, and she told me then, she said, you do know that if you air this interview with me, they're going to take you off. I said, well, we'll find out. Well, of course, we aired the interview, and sure enough, they did. Well, I didn't care. We're going to do what we want to anyway. But in this case, for them to do this, especially if it involved 9/11, there's just no value to that other than trying to cover up a tragedy that happened. Was it because I mentioned they were jihadists that carried it out? Well, that was also a fact. So anyway, please go to rumble.com in the search engine, Larry Connors USA. It'll take you to our page. Push the button that says subscribe. It's very simple. It'll be delivered to you. I know our numbers are growing. I just haven't had time to check on them lately. And not all the numbers are posted. I do know that because I'm seeing they're dividing us between two different channels. And I have no idea why. We're trying to figure that out. But I would appreciate it. Now, I want to remind you, as I was kind of rushing through a moment ago, and I'm glad that I have more time to discuss it. This is Yom Kippur. It is the holiest day of the year in Judaism. They have held religious services at various synagogues and also outside in some areas. They did Central Park last year. It all marks a Jewish Day of Atonement. You don't wish someone happy Yom Kippur, but it's a very somber commemoration, but just recognize them that it is their high holy day. And again, I do thank you for listening. I thank you for sharing with others, letting them know about this program. Let me emphasize to you, there is no other radio program, talk show like this anywhere, anywhere. I do a lot of storytelling, often with sound bites, facts, and yes, I do inject opinion because it's the Larry Connors USA program. I can. But you make it work. You make it successful. And I do urge you to remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.